All right. So this morning, I get the pleasure of continuing to share with you from our elders' retreat back in January. For those of you who can remember, we did a few minutes of sharing back in, I think it was the second weekend in March, sharing with you a little bit about what it was that the Lord had been leading us to, about how it is that He is shaping and crafting us towards His purpose and His vision, and what that looks like that is unique for us as a church. When we met in elders, as the elders in January, our regional minister, John Cressman, came and led us through a series of exercises trying to help us understand our own identity as a body of believers, as a unique congregation, and what particularly that will equip us for in the ministry that the Lord is leading us to. Every church is unique. Every body is made up of different parts, of hands and feet with different skills and giftings. So we sought to answer the questions of who are we as followers in Jesus, what do we do in our lives because of that calling, and why do we do it, with what goal and with what purpose in mind. On the 14th of March, or whatever it was, we shared a little bit about what it was in that first question, who we are as followers of Jesus. We came up with three defining traits that are incredibly central. We need to understand these to understand the fact that we are in relationship with Jesus, that we need to know and understand these principles to recognize what it is that the Lord has done for us and who we are as Christians, to discover once again this model. We exist as humans in relationship with God. That is true for anyone who has ever been born. Whether they acknowledge the Creator or not, they are in His mind and in His image. And this led us to understanding three identity traits in terms of the question, who we are. Now, it's just hit me that I forgot to give Kyle a copy of my sermon as we go here. So jump along, Kyle, and I'll prompt you as need be. But as Christians, we looked at three different traits. Understanding that we are in relationship with the Lord by grace. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us are broken individuals by nature. There is something that is in our hearts that constantly puts us at odds with the Creator and His purpose for us. That none of us are better than anyone else. No one is holier than anyone else. But each and every one of us are on the same journey with the Lord. We all need God's grace, and that has been given freely to us by Jesus' death on the cross. This grace, this freedom, and this forgiveness that comes through this is something that God has given freely and openly to each and every person who would receive it. To know who we are as Christians, we need to see ourselves and understand the grace that God gives us. The second thing we need to understand about ourselves is we have a call on our lives. Matthew 28, Jesus tells His disciples, to go and make disciples of all nations. And that this is a command for us of an action purpose. This is something for us to do at all points, in all seasons, with all resources. This is something that should shape everything that we do from that point in time, because there is a task and a goal to be accomplished. And the third is that we have a message to love your neighbor as yourself. That our entire attitude, our entire disposition as individuals who claim to know Jesus and believe in Him must come from a place and be rooted in love for everyone around us and everyone that we meet. That the way we speak, the way we care, and the way we support one another must be done with as much diligence as we can muster, and as much strength as the Spirit provides us, which is greater than our own. That we can seek to look after one another as equally as we would our own bodies and ourselves. Before we understand what it is that we as a church are called to do, before we understand what it is that we're meant to do in our ministry, we need to recognize and take hold of who we are in Jesus Christ. If we can take these principles and live through them, everything that comes after this, all our ministry as a church, all our outreach as a church, it all comes from these three principles and how we see ourselves in light of what God has done for us. All the programs in the world won't build the kingdom if we don't understand who the Lord has made us to be. All of the outreach to our community will have no effect if we don't understand ourselves in our relationship with who God is. As we were led through this exercise, we came very clearly to recognize that the first step is to think of who we are in light of the truth of Jesus Christ, and to recognize everything from that point forward needs to be an extension, a personification, and an embodiment of these three principles. That Jesus is at our heart. Now, once we've recognized who we are as individuals, as followers of Jesus, we can understand and start thinking about how practically this starts to shape our lives as individuals. And this is where our focus is going to be today. We know that each and every one of us, in light of what Jesus has done, are saved by grace, we are given a calling and a message to share with those around us. And living in this place, living in this moment of the understanding, this will start to shape our goals as a church, what it is that we seek to do in terms of our ministry and how we're going to get there. It's going to start to give us a direction and strategy on how to move towards these goals, what it is that will be our focus, what it is that we'll start putting our energy and resources into. And most importantly, it'll inspire us with a mission. Now, how many of you have ever been inspired by something, maybe a piece of art you saw or a music or a movie you saw or an experience that you had, or even seeing the nature and wilderness in a beautiful way? That inspiration, it's tough to manage when it comes on strong. It's this desire that almost, I feel it in my chest, that is so overwhelming that you just got to do something with it. You've got to move it towards something. There has to be some real outlet for that inspiration to come, or it just starts to eat you alive inside. And that's meant to be the type of zeal and fervor that comes when we are in a place of purity in our relationship with the Lord. When we are seeking God, this is what He will give for us. He will give us the strategies, He will give us the inspiration, and He will give us goals to work towards. Now, living in the light of grace, call, and message means that we will have certain things that come out of ourselves as individuals. There will be certain dispositions that grow out of us. There will be certain attitudes that just tend to flow from us. That this all becomes part of understanding where we want to go as a church, understanding who we are, and how that shapes what we do. We know that Jesus is alive, and that Jesus has saved each and every one of us who have a personal relationship with Him. So this next step is to understand how we commit to live our lives as individuals. Now, these then become the measure of our spiritual maturity, the measure of our faithfulness. And we came up with three distinct traits in terms of how we live and how we behave as followers of Jesus. We know what it is that God has done and what He has done for us and given us. We know that relationship with us has a personal effect. And now these traits we felt were the most defining features for us as a church on what it is as individuals in our attitudes, in our heart, and in our perception that we are meant to strive for, having been saved by Jesus Christ. So we have our grace, call, and message. This is now that second wave of things. We know, once again, Jesus is at our heart. This is what He's done for us. This is now how this shapes us. And the first and most present thing we must be as followers of Jesus is that we must be teachable. We must be, in our lives, committed to being lifelong learners. We must be committed to knowing that not all of our opinions are the perfect perspective. That no matter what age or stage we are, whether that's a university student who figures, I've got the world figured out in the palm of my hand, wait till you figure it out, or whether it's being later on in life at a different age or stage where we just feel comfortable in our faith, we should never allow ourselves to get to a point where we think we know maybe enough to get by. Being in relationship with Jesus is being constantly in flux, constantly shaped, constantly changed, constantly having things ripped out from inside you and new things putting back in their place. But for any of that to really have a practical effect in our hearts, we need to allow that process. How many of you have ever, once again, been in a situation where you're trying to get something away from a child that they don't want to let go? Even if what you're trying to give them in replacement is a whole lot better. I go through that with Marley all the time. No, Marley, give me that fork you found. You don't want it. Here, have a cookie. But no, she wants the fork really badly. If we don't have this teachable attitude and spirit within our lives, we don't allow God to pull from us what he needs to and give us the things that we desperately need. God knows what it is that we are built and designed for. He knows us better than ourselves. So, of course, how he tries to shape us is good and pure. But we need to allow him that process. And the biggest part of that is to realize that we don't know it all. I don't know it all. When I finished university, I was just 20 years old, and I had actually just started at the church here. And a lot of people said to me, oh, so you've got your degree in ministry. You're going to go be a pastor, and that's just going to be the next 40 years of your life. And I said, no, I really don't know everything yet. There's no possible way. So I immediately started working on my master's degree. And when I finished my master's degree, a lot of people said to me in my life, so you've got your master's. That's awesome. Not a lot of people out there have their master's. So I guess now you've got it all and you're just going to finish through the rest of your ministry and that'll be that. And I thought, no, there's no way I have God figured out. Maybe someday down the road, I'll look to do another level of schooling. And due to the blessing that you have been as a church, I now have the opportunity next year to go back to school part-time on my day off to begin my doctorate program, so that in 3 years I'll have another opportunity to get an education milestone. And at the end of that, do you know what I'm probably going to say? There's still no way I have God figured out. And we all need to have this willingness to constantly be shown by the Holy Spirit new things in our lives. We need to seek to learn from those who are younger than ourselves and those who are older. I think one of at least the top three most profound things about God that someone told me was from a six-year-old. The Lord speaks through all people with all messages. And when we think about this call that Jesus has made on our life to go and make disciples, we realize that that is a task bigger than ourselves. So we must live in dependence of God in all things. We must seek to rely on God in every single aspect of our lives, with the small things and with the big things. And if you're anything like me, trusting God with the big things is easy because you can't fix them anyways, so why not give them to God? But trusting God with every single little thing, even the things that we feel more than capable of doing on ourselves, of providing him space to speak into all these different things and make things happen that we maybe never expected. None of us are perfect, so what the Lord asks for us is to be constantly renewed by his Spirit. And this will be a hard process. Like Marley cries, when I take away the fork, it will be something that is not always pleasant to be dependent on God. But in all things, we must defer to the model that Scripture gives us in our lives. To look at the context in which those words were spoken, who they were spoken to, and look at what it means for us in our world today, keeping true the message of love and grace and calling that Jesus has given us. That in all things we must trust to the best of our ability, which will be uncomfortable. But if we ever seek to become more than what we are, we need to be dependent on God's image of what it is that we could be, not our own. And if we understand our message to love our neighbor as ourselves, there is a trait that will overflow from us as followers of Jesus, that we will be welcoming to those around us. Now, if you were to ask any visitor, at least that I've ever spoken to that's been on our church, welcoming seems to be one of the most common pieces of feedback that we receive. That we as a church are incredibly welcoming on any time that we have visitors come into our church. We are friendly, we are warm, and we very much come with open arms. I tried to find a picture of welcoming for the PowerPoint this week, and the vast majority of the pictures were people standing like this. And I thought to myself, yeah, that is kind of like how we are here. But that has nothing to do with actually what it means to be welcoming. When I look at this word, this passage, I think it encompasses it so perfectly, because what is the first three words in this passage? Accept one another. We can be, and I'm not saying this is us as a church, but I have met people before in my life who are very welcoming, and it is all a facade on their face. How they have opinions and attitudes that are toxic in nature, that they will meet you with open arms and stab you in the back the first chance that they get. This is not what the Lord looks for in terms of welcoming. He looks for an environment that anyone can come into and be accepted. Now, a very, very important thing to note here. Within our culture, acceptance nowadays has become synonymous with agreement. To accept someone means that you agree with what it is that they're doing, what their opinion is, or what their life is. And by no means is that what I am saying here. I can accept someone who has a difference of opinion. I can accept someone and do it incredibly graciously who believes something that I do not. I can accept someone who has beliefs that are contradictory to my own. Acceptance does not mean agreement, approval, or an affirmative response to someone's behavior. We can have someone come through our church that is struggling and entrenched in a life of sin, and imagine for yourself, whatever that comes to mind for you, we can still accept them as being a work in progress and on a journey with the Lord. We don't have to agree with them, and we hold to Scripture above all as our guiding force for us on what is right and what is wrong. But accept one another just as Christ accepted you. How did Christ accept us? In our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our shame, in our pride. And Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. To welcome someone means to accept them in their brokenness, in their difficulty, with no expectations or no requirements on them, and to show them love. But that doesn't mean you approve of their lifestyle, their beliefs, or their choices. And this is something today that is getting cloudier and cloudier, especially within the secular world, because accepting means agreeing, means you approve. Especially within decisions that are more and more often coming out of the government. It's all about what's okay for you is okay for you, and what's okay for me is okay for me. And that's not what we're called to live by. But we can still put our arm around someone and say, it's okay, the Lord has a plan for you too. Because whose job is it to convict? Whose job is it to turn our hearts to something that is wrong in our lives? Is it the person sitting beside you? Not according to Scripture. Scripture says it's the Holy Spirit's job. That we as a church family can come alongside each other in love when we have fallen off the path of what God leads for us. But in terms of changing hearts, that is God's job. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to preach on a passage that I had never preached on before. The closing prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples in the Gospel of John as he led them through this final moment of exaltation to the Lord before he was arrested, according to John's Gospel. And in John 17, verse 20 to 23, it talks about what our responsibility is as a church. It talks to us about what our goal should be as a body of believers, as hands and feet with different skill sets, different passions, and different giftings. Our goal is to be united together as a body, and to be so through the love that God has for us. As we await this process of a lead pastor, which has taken a while, and we are moving forward in very encouragingly, we realize that we are a unique church in this town. There's not a church like ours. We have the most widest multi-generational tone in our church. We have the biggest age ranges out of any church that I know, and with the most pockets of diversity in terms of age and stage. And this makes our job of unity for us harder than it is for most other churches around us, because we have more challenges in agreeing on different strategies, different principles, different practices than most other churches do. But this is what the Lord has led Markham Missionary to. Each one of you are here with a purpose and a plan to seek to love and look after one another, to serve and to value those ahead of you and those behind you, to learn, to listen to one another, to appreciate the differences, and to support one another. This next slide is going to show you a little bit of an image of these words that we have been talking about this morning, of where it is that we're growing and going as a church. That we recognize that Jesus Christ is at our core, and that first wave, and we say wave because we understand that it is a continual process, leading us to understand who we are in Christ, which leads us to this next stage, which is where our focus is going to be as a church over these next number of months. And as Pastor Ramalal, if the Lord leads, has even the opportunity to speak into our teaching, even from across the world, that we seek in all things that we will have a teachable attitude, that we'll be willing to recognize that we do not have as individuals the perfect perspective, and that only the Lord does. We will recognize that we need to live as individuals in dependency on God and His Word through all things, big things, small things, what to do when conflict arises, what to do about taking care of those of us in ministry, what to do about, and when I say ministry, I mean those outside of this building, what it is to be in our message and heart. And the welcoming, we've got that first part of it down pat. We got that in spades of our friendliness and warmth as a church. But to recognize that what the Lord asks for us in terms of being welcoming is so much more than that. And to recognize we are all works in process. That the Lord is seeking to develop, to build, and to shape. We know where we come from. We know who we are. This is the lifestyle that God calls us to live as individuals. Because as that passage we read earlier said from John, if you live in unity as a church, if you love one another, the world will see that around you, and those around you will come to believe that the love of God is real because they see it in your life, in your heart, in your community, and in this church. We need to work on our own hearts, me included, because the Lord is building us towards something, and we're not there yet. But we have an amazing ability to impact one of the widest breadths of ages through this church that not many other churches have. That is unique to the way the Lord has made us. That He seeks maturity in our faith. And when we are mature, we will love and look after one another. And the world will see that. And that Markham Missionary Church will grow in numbers. We will become more like Christ. We will see his purposes being accomplished here. Because as one of the most wise statements I've ever heard says, healthy things grow. In unity together with the purpose Christ gave us, moving forward together as a body, we as a church will grow. We have that image that we put up on the platform available, and you may start seeing that in more different places as we seek once again to realize that this is what it is that God is calling for us and from us. But like most things in life that the Lord gives, we don't get it because we're awesome. We don't get it because we have an ability or a skill set that is unique to ourselves. But we get it because the Lord provides it for us. That it is not dependent on ourselves to accomplish anything. But it's the fact that the Lord has given it to us through his love and through his grace. I invite you all to stand with me this morning, and we're going to sing a little bit of a chorus about the fact that God has given us everything that we need. But there's a part in that we've got to give it back to him as well. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus.